Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
There's a ticking time bomb in this room. Now, don't nobody jump up and run out. I mean that metaphorically. There's a ticking time bomb in the room. Not everyone hears it right now. Not everybody hears that little click. See, during service, y'all may be wondering, why have y'all got those things in your ears? What are you listening to? Are y'all like listening to the ball game? Because I know there's a pretty important ball game going on today, right? Maybe. I'll tell you, I'm not rooting for either team, really. I'm rooting for an individual in that team. I'm not going to let you know who it is on those teams. I'm not going to let you know who it is, but because I don't want to alienate anybody. But inside of those headsets, we've got some of the music playing in our headsets so that we can make sure we stay on time. And there's this very loud click. It's if you just listen to it all day long, it would get very annoying. But that click helps keep us on time. And see, we're hearing it. You guys are not. That's not the ticking time bomb I'm talking about. There's another ticking time bomb that gets drowned out sometimes by the things around us. Sort of like the music sometimes will get too loud and we can't hear the click, and that's when we get off. There's another click going on. There's a different kind of click happening over this next 5 days. Come on now. With every day that gets closer to Valentine's Day, it gets louder. Yeah, all of a sudden the teenagers go, oh, okay. All the men are sitting there going, oh, gosh, he needs to shut up. He needs to just listen. But there's that ticking time out. Women are more likely to hear that tick-tock, 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 because they're anticipating something, right, guys? They're anticipating that gift, or they're anticipating that special dinner. They're anticipating you actually remembering. Men, we're deaf. And a lot of people in the room went, what? Sometimes we can be deaf. We let every day, sometimes we let everyday life drown out the ticking clock until the last minute. I can guarantee you, when it gets to February 12th, 13th, and even on the 14th, if you walk into Walmart, you're going to walk onto that aisle where all the cards are, where all the chocolate is, and you're going to see about 20 or 25 men at any time during that day looking at cards going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to get her. And they waited till the last second, right? Come on, somebody. I've been there. I've done that. I will be the first one to say, I have been that guy. I grab a bag of Dove chocolates, and the first card that I grab that is funny, because, guys, we can't be serious for too long, otherwise we'll explode, right? And I grab a card, and I bring it home to my wife, and she goes, gee, thanks. And I usually grab a card for my dogs to her, too. So, but the thing is, that ticking time bomb is happening. Because I love you today, here's your final PSA, public service announcement. Guys, Valentine's Day is Friday. Don't forget. Okay? Are you with me? In 5 days, you're going to have an opportunity, both men and ladies, to show your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or someone you want to be more than a friend. Maybe it's a secret admirer kind of situation. Lord Jesus, please don't be a stalker. But you're going to have a chance to show people that you care about them. We at Calvary Temple, we build our foundation on three things, right? We've already said it once today. You're going to say it probably another three or four times. We love God. Love is a major component, and it is an important part of who we are. When we say love people, we mean all people. But sometimes we forget to love those that are closest to us. Don't forget to love your family. Are you with me? Don't forget to love those that are right next to you. Those that are with you day in and day out. Don't forget this week. And right now there's some people in here sitting going, well, Pastor, listen, I don't really like all that lovey-dovey stuff and that mush-mouth kind of stuff. I mean, why don't you just preach the word? Yeah, I don't even care if you preach hellfire and brimstone. Just preach. Just preach something and don't talk about love all the time. But the thing is, love is such an important part of who we are. That's the thing. Love, true love, and you're sitting there going, I don't get into that love stuff. I don't, it's just not who I am. Well, that's the thing about love. It's not about you. I think I'm going to have to go home and make some things right or something. But I know. But the thing is, I got to make sure I stay on track today. We're going to get in trouble. But love is not about you. True love is not about you. It's not about making you feel good. It's not about making you feel like you've accomplished something. It's not about making you do something or anything that is about you. True love, actual true love, is the key ingredient for the two most important commandments in Scripture. Love takes a backseat to absolutely nothing in this world, even in the spiritual realm. Matthew 22:37 says this, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the key ingredient for the two most important commandments that we've ever received on this earth. So when you say you're not all about love, then you're telling me you're not all about God's word. But Pastor... No, there is no but, y'all. Either you love people or you don't. Either you love God or you don't. Either you care for God's people or you don't care for God's people. Love is more important than the spiritual gifts that many people chase after. We talked about that last week. Again, this is the message. This particular message that I'm sharing with you today is for Christians. So if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, if you know Him as your Savior today, this message is for you. Even if you're not saved, even if you do not know Jesus, even if you're not serving God, this message is still for you. And you need to experience that kind of love. But Christians and followers of God, this is something we need to hear today. Last week we talked about what love is. And we spoke about that. We learned that love is patient. And we don't have a right not to be patient. We learned that love is patient. We also learned that love is kind. We learned that it's more than being friendly. It's a spiritual fruit that is a natural outcome out of when we love one another, truly love one another. When you truly love each other, you're kind to one another. Some people are sitting there going, Pastor, you're making me uncomfortable. Good. Because if you're uncomfortable, that means it's probably God speaking to you. Because we need to remember, we need to rediscover the importance of love in our life today. You can't talk about God without talking about love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. So when we speak about God, we have to speak about love. Love for God, love for others, love for His people, love for sinners, love for our enemy. All of those are included. When we are patient and kind, we are representing God in a physical form to others through this love that we show. Now, that was last week. True love is. This week, I want to talk about how true love is not. True love is not. Everybody say, true love is not. That's what I want to talk about today. See, Paul continues his letter in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He continues his letter in verses 4 through 6. It says this, love is patient and kind. We covered that last week. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. And right there, that slaps somebody in the head right there. Love is not irritable. You ever met somebody that's just irritable all the time? They need more love. And then it says, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. See, Paul takes time to name eight things that love is not. He only mentioned two things that love is, but eight things that love is not, or that love does not do. Instead of sharing with them the attributes that make up love, he shares with them, Paul shares with them the things on the opposite end of the spectrum. He shares with them the things that aren't anything close to what love is supposed to be. And as we go through all of these, you're going to notice a common thread that is found in every single one of them. Something that ties them all together. Now, are you ready to jump into the Word? Let's pray. Father God, let my words be few. Let your words be powerful. And let your Spirit be in control from the first word to the last prayer. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's jump in. First thing that love is, or love is not. Love does not envy or boast. Now, can I tell you something? That is more than just looking at somebody and say, ooh, I wish I had their hair. It's more than that. It's more than looking at them and saying, man, I wish I had those clothes. Those are sharp. It's more than looking at them and saying, man, they got a nice house. I wish they had a nice, man, I wish I had that talent. I've got a buddy of mine that, you know, if you notice, I don't have much of a beard. I know that's a very spiritual subject around here, and y'all talk about that at night at the, around the dinner table. I know that's something that you're concerned about. But I don't have much of one. And I've got buddies of mine that I'm talking about. They don't have the little scruff that I got. They've got beards that go, that are like way down here. I look over here at Charles, and I'm like, man, it just ain't even fair. He's got like the full beard going on. I even look at Jay up here on the front row. He's got more of a beard than I do. And I'm almost 50 years old, y'all. The dude's 19 years old. It ain't fair. I want to be that whirly burly, I want to be that kind of guy too, but it's just not going to happen. It's just not me. But that's not what I'm talking about when I talk about envy. That's not what Paul is talking about when he talks about envy. It's not about just saying, oh, I wish I was like that. I wish I had that talent. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. It's more than that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the definition of envy. Envy is a resentful longing for another person's achievements, possessions, or position. In other words, it's looking at them and not just saying, man, I wish I had that. It's looking at them and going, they don't deserve that. I do. They don't deserve to be able to grow a beard like that. Pray for me, brother. I'm dealing with it. They don't deserve that car because they haven't worked as much as I have. They don't deserve that praise that people are giving them because I know who they really are. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of times that we do that. As Christians, we look at each other and we see how this person gets lifted up and this person gets honored and this person is raised to a station. And we sit and go, they don't deserve that. I'm better than they are in that. That's a resentful longing for what they have. That's what this is talking about, that envy that they have. Remember that he is speaking to people inside of the church. Paul is speaking to people inside of the church. Those that are seeking gifts and status. He has addressed the whole thing about how love is supposed to be greater than the gifts that you seek. It's supposed to be greater than tongues. It's greater than prophecy. It's greater than all these things. Yet these people, what they've been doing is they've been looking at the spiritual giftings of other people and going, they don't deserve to be known and be a teacher. They don't deserve to be on that board. They don't deserve to be a part of that situation. They don't deserve to be recognized by that person. And they're pointing fingers and they're saying, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go after that kind of spiritual gift so that I could be lifted up, so that I could be honored, so that I could take that position and show them how much I deserve it. Now, some of y'all may be looking at me like you're skeptical of what I'm talking about. This is the Word of God. When you see others blessed, let me ask you a quick question. When you see others blessed or recognized for what they do or what they did, what's your first reaction? Do you look at them and say, God bless them. Praise God that they're getting honored. Praise God that they've got that bonus. Praise God that they've got that good job. Praise God that they got that position. Praise God that they're getting honored that way. Or are you looking at them and going, they don't deserve it. I don't know why they even mention it. I've done more around here than they have. I've got more spiritual significance than they do. That's what he was talking to about that church. They were after those gifts so that they could lift themselves up and so that they could say, I deserve it more. He's describing them. See, he said, love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy. In other words, he's calling them out, saying, love doesn't do what you're doing here. Love does not envy. And he says, love does not boast. They would then, after they received something, or after they would go and they would build themselves up. Hey, did you see what I did today? Did you see the way God is moving in my life? Did you see what car God blessed me with? Did you see that suit that I was wearing? Did you see how the people just, did you see how those kids just loved all over me and they love me when I teach and when I do this and do that? And they started building themselves up and boasting. They made sure others would see them and know what they did. Even though what they did might even be a good thing, it is tainted with the attitude of envy and boasting. Can I tell you something? You can ruin the gifting of God in your life by holding it up for everyone to admire. No, God gave me a check in my spirit a few years ago. Because I've always had the attitude of I want to be the best at everything that I do. And I even told Amy this one time that God really jumped on me. We were driving down the road. I think we were looking for a car at the time. And we were driving down the road, and I said, you know, God really got on to me because I always said, I want to be the best. I want to be known as the best. I want to make sure that I've got the best. I want to be the best speaker. I want to be the best praise worship leader. I want to be the best youth pastor. I want to be the best pastor. I want to be the best Christian. I want to be the best person. I want to be the best. And God sort of went, who do you want that for, you or me? Because I was trying to hold myself up and hold the giftings that God had given me, because I was a pretty decent musician. I was a pretty decent singer. I'm a decent pastor, I guess. I'm a decent speaker. And I used to play it down. Oh, no, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'll do the whole humble thing, but at the whole time my spirit on the inside of me is craving it. And I would hold that up, and I would say, did you hear my message? I would call people. And listen, I'm telling a lot on myself today. Y'all still love me? Amen. I'm telling a lot on myself. I would call people and say, hey, will you listen to this message? Knowing that I felt like I did a good job. Will you listen to this message? I want you to give me a critique on this message. I wanted them to pat me on the back. Y'all are sitting there going, this is the guy we hired as our pastor? Because God changed my heart. That's the reason why I'm still where I'm at. Because God told me, stop holding yourself up. Stop holding yourself up for other people to notice and hold me up. Because the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And not draw all men under Pastor Aaron. Not draw all men under Calvary Temple. Not draw all men and all women unto a place on the pulpit. But I will draw them to me, God himself. There's a story. Again, even though what they do is a good thing, those things I was doing was good, but they were tainted. There are things that we do in the church that are tainted because we do them for the wrong reasons. This is a hard word, y'all. Are y'all hearing me? I know we're not laughing and giggling and joking like I normally do, but this is a hard word that I think you need to hear. Because in Luke 21, there's a story. The reason why I say that is because in Luke 21, there's a story about a Jesus and his disciples. They were sitting in what they called the women's court in the temple. Or the Gentile court, the women's court. And they were sitting there, and they positioned themselves exactly opposite of the offering boxes. Now, what you don't know about those offering boxes is that many, I taught on this a few years ago, there was actually a horn that was connected to those boxes. a brass horn that would curl around. And they didn't have paper money back then. What did they use? Coins. And they would have that horn going around. And when people would walk by, they would drop their coins into that horn that would drop down through that horn and through all the curves and all that. And you would hear this clang, 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 clang going down into the box. And you had all these giant, these rich people that would come in and they would scoop up their offering and they would make a big show about it. And they wouldn't just drop them all in there at one time. They would take it and they would let it slide off of their hands or slide out of their buckets or slide out of their bowls or whatever they were using to pour it in. And it would cause as much noise as possible. And they would puff their chests out. As they were pouring it in, they would look around and see who's watching. That was a sense of boasting that they would do. Then there was what they were doing was a good thing. They were doing what was right, but they were doing it for the wrong motives. I believe there are churches that are doing today, and people in church today that are doing what is right, but they're doing it with the wrong heart. They're not doing it out of love. Because love does not boast. Love does not call attention to self. Even the way they gave was a type of boasting. The widow came, though, and she had two coins, and she just quietly dropped them in. No fanfare. Nobody recognizing her. Nobody patting her on the back. She did it because she loved God, and she wanted to obey God. You see, true love acts without accolades, and it cares without need of a crown. True love acts without accolades and cares without need of a crown. It's not important that everybody knows how good you've done something good this week. It's not important how they know what all's going on in your life. And now, yes, we can give God praise. And we can glorify God as long as we make sure he gets the praise. But if we're doing it in any way to puff ourselves up, that's not love. Are you with me? Envy and boasting do nothing but destroy. If you think back, envy murdered Abel, enslaved Joseph, and put Jesus on the cross. Do you really want to carry those around with you in your journey? Yeah, see, y'all thought this was going to be some lovey-dovey, sweet message. It ain't. It's one that's calling us to a higher place. It's calling us to a new season. It's calling us to love people regardless of their station or where they're at or who they've been with. Love, true love, is ready to prefer others over themselves. That's what true love is. True love is not envy or boasting. True love does not, he moves on and he says, true love is not arrogant or rude. You ever known somebody that was arrogant or rude to you? You want to slap them. If you ever come up and slap me, I know why. But there is one word to describe those two words right there. I'm going to sum it up in one word: pride. Pride is what he's talking about here. There is one word that would describe pride, and arrogance views life as a series of steps and is always reminding others where they are in the process. Pride will always let people know, you see where I'm at, see where you're at, you're not as far as me. You see where God has brought me, you're still over there. You just stay over there and you learn from me. You watch me. I'll take care of you. You can teach somebody in love, but you've got to do it in love. You can't do it in an attitude of, I'm here, you're there, we're two separate people. No, you're on the same journey, you're walking the same road, and you've been through the same dirt and the same mud and the same junk, and you've got just as much mud on your shoes as they've got on theirs. We need to remember, we were where they are at one point in our life. I'm coming down hard on y'all this morning. Y'all, are y'all receiving this today? listen, I don't want to beat you up, but I also don't want to coddle you either. Pride causes the Pharisee, is what caused the Pharisee to pray like he did in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee stood at that altar. He stood close to the altar. He got as close up to it as he could. Why? Because he was a Pharisee. He was allowed to get close to that place. He was allowed to get close because of who he was. And he would stand up there. Lord, I thank you that I give a tenth. Notice he uses that word I a lot. I thank you that I give a tenth of everything that I have, even down to my spices. I give all that I have to the, I give this and I give that. I thank you that I know your word, and I thank you that I am who I am. And I thank you that I'm not like this sinner over here, this tax collector, this publican down here that's back behind me. Because the Bible says that this tax collector wouldn't even get close to the altar, but he stayed at a distance on his knees, beating his breast, saying, God, woe is me, a sinner. Woe is me, a sinner. Woe is me, a sinner. He never said anything about himself other than the fact that he needed God. That pride in that Pharisee was all about, look how good I am compared to them. That arrogance that he had. Listen, I'm a pastor and I've been serving God for over 30 years. I've been pastoring for over 20. As a youth pastor most of that time. Don't hold that against me. But I've been pastoring for over 20 years. And I got to tell you, I still feel there are days where I need to sit at a distance and say, God, woe is me, a sinner. Woe am I, because I'm a messed up person. I've got messed up priorities. I've got messed up things in my life. But God looks at me and he says, you may have those problems in your life, but you're still my child. You're still forgiven. You're still my son. Why? Because of love, not because of pride, standing up saying, look how good I am, God. Look how many years of ministry I've been doing. Look at what I've done. Look how many kids I've taught. Look how much money I've given. Look how much I've been faithful in all these things. Because I don't do that, God looks at me and he says, I still love you. Pride will push love and keep love at a distance. Are y'all with me? I'm going way off my notes yet this morning, y'all. But I want you to understand something. Pride points to the place where we stand and shouts, you should be here. True love stoops down and grasps the hand of those that are struggling to reach where we are. See, pride will remind people of their station. Love brings them along with us to ours. I'm not anything that somebody in this room can't be. God has worked mightily in my life. And he has forgiven me of sins that you will never find out about, because I have forgotten them and I have left them behind me. They still try to creep up and grab a hold of my mind some days. I'm a broken human being, just like every person in this room. You name the most holy person that you know, and I guarantee you God has some things in their life that he wants to get right. There's a story about a guy by the name of William Carey. William Carey is basically known as the father of modern day missions. And he did such great things for God. But the problem was that he was a lowly, he did not have a station in his life. He was very low station. He was a shoe repair man. That's all he did, was he repaired shoes. And he went to this giant party one time. See, Christians all over the world know him now because and honor him. But he came to it from a humble place. He was a shoe repair man where God called him to reach the world. Once when William Carey was at a dinner party, there was a snobbish lord, a snobbish uppity type person, one of those guys in the higher station of the upper echelon that tried to insult him. And he looked at him and he said, Mr. Carey, I hear you were once a shoemaker. He was trying to remind him of how low a station he had. I heard you were once a shoemaker. And Carey replied, no, your lordship. I was never a shoemaker. I was only a cobbler. I never made the shoe. I just repaired what was broken. I wasn't even good enough to make the shoes. See, today the name of William Carey is remembered, but nobody remembers that snobbish lord or who he was. Because William Carey's love showed itself is not having a big head about himself. He wasn't arrogant or prideful. He remembered where he came from, and he helped others come from that place to where he was. Are you with me? True love, this is my last statement on this. True love brings value to others, no matter their station or position in life. Doesn't matter, listen, here at Calvary Temple, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how much money you got, doesn't matter what you dress like, it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter how long you've served God. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you belong here. You are on the ground at the cross is a level playing field. We all stand there as people that are just there to worship God. We are all in that position. Yes, some of us have traveled a little longer. Some of us have been a little bit further. But that doesn't mean that we're any more perfect. We are all on the same journey. Mark Sims, not the Mark Sims that came and spoke last year, but a different Mark Sims, a friend of mine, he gave me some of the best advice that I ever received when I was beginning my ministry. He said, every time I speak with someone, every time I talk with them, whether they're in ministry or whether they're just somebody in the church or anybody in general, my goal is when I leave them, it's for them to feel better about themselves than they felt when they started talking to me. For them to feel better about their ministry than they did when they first started talking to me. For them to feel better about their family. For them to feel better about their life with God. Because he wanted to build people and bring value to them. True love is not arrogant or rude or prideful. Are you with me? True love does not insist it's on its own way. You ever met somebody like that? They want it their way and they want it now. Sort of like that commercial, it's my money and I want it now. Okay? I want my way. It's more than just giving up the remote from time to time. So that'll sink in with somebody here in a minute. When I say love is not wanting your way all the time. It's not just giving up the remote to your wife every now and then, gentlemen, saying, here, watch what you want. It's not saying, well, I don't care where we eat. It's not saying this, that, or the other, those kind of things. What it is something completely different than that. It's more than that. It's more than just sacrificing that for those momentary things. It isn't about you being miserable and them being happy. It is knowing that your well-being, your state of mind, your happiness, and your joy is not the only determining factor in the relationship. I'm throwing some heavy stuff y'all way. Are y'all okay? There's a particular dish that my wife makes at home. And she knows this that I'm about to say, so don't think that I'm outing her in front of everybody. It's not my favorite dish. Now, her and DJ, they love it. We ate it the other night. But there's something about it. There's a texture in it that I do not like. Now, I have told her this, and she continues to make it. But can I tell you this? I don't complain when she makes it. You know why? Because it's not about whether I'm happy or not. It doesn't matter whether I'm happy 100% of the time or not. Can I tell you this? And this is, I'm going to step on some toes right here, and somebody's going might get offended by this. But my job as a pastor is not to make 100% of the people in this church happy 100% of the time. My job is to present you with the truth and allow God to speak to you about the situations in your own personal life. I never speak to a certain situation. I never preach about a certain person or anything like that. To be honest with you, I try to stay out of personal business as much as possible. Why? Because I don't want people pointing, going, he knew what I was doing. He knew that I was involved in this. He knew that I had a fight with my wife. He knew that I had a fight with my husband. He knew that I was doing this or that. No, I don't know anything. Y'all, listen, let me tell you again, I'm dumb. I don't know that stuff. I preach the word of God, and I let God speak to you about those things. True love gives preference to other people. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Take care of each other. Speak into each other's lives. Are y'all awake out there? Next it says, love is not irritable or resentful. You mean I can't be irritated or frustrated with people? How is that possible? I mean, do y'all get frustrated with people the way that I do? Come on. Especially when on the road, y'all know I have road rage issues. Y'all got to pray me through. Last night we were driving back from the golf, and we got behind this gentleman, and God bless him. Lord, help him. He was in a truck, and he was pulling a gator or something on a trailer back behind him. But the problem was he had a tire that had busted on that trailer, and he just kept rolling. I'm talking about we're smelling rubber burning and fumes, and we're going about 5 or 10 miles an hour, and all we hear is kroong, 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 and we finally get by him. I'm going to tell him myself. We go to get by him, and I was just trying to get around him. And I'll admit it, I was on the inside, I was a little frustrated, so I wanted to stomp on it, and I was in the church van, and I sat there, and I stomped on it, got around him. And, of course, we top a hill, and there's a guy coming right at me, and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to meet you. Oh, Lord, help me. But I finally get by him, and I just say on the other side of it, it's a good thing we ain't got the church name on this stand. So, but listen. I get road rage issues, and there's people that irritate me. There's people that will get on my nerves at times, and you can get irritated and resentful. I'm not saying that you cannot be irritated at times. That's not what I mean. There will be irritations and people that rub on you like sandpaper at times. It will feel like you're you've got sand. You ever been to the beach and you get sand in your shorts and you're trying to walk down the beach or something, or you get salt and you're rubbing yourself raw and you're like, oh, this is not feel good. Y'all ever met somebody that made you feel that way? Don't point at them. Don't point at them. I remember that. There's times where that happens. And I'm not saying that God is going to take every irritation out of your life. If that was the case, then every teenager on this planet would disappear right now. Lord bless you guys. There will be irritations. There will be struggles. There will be problems. Listen, if God didn't want us to go through irritations, we would skip through the terrible twos when we're raising our kids. We would skip from 2 years old to 22. Because then we got all of it gone. True love recognizes the irritation and acts before it turns into anger and resentment, though. See, true love will recognize that there's a problem and fix it before it becomes detrimental to the relationship. That's what true love does. Are you with me? It doesn't store up. See, love recognizes all of that. It doesn't store up all those times that someone hurts us or rubs us the wrong way or used it against them. It goes back to Paul's first description of love. Love is patient. What do we say the definition of patience is? Is having the power and the right to act, to redeem oneself, but not doing it, to have grace on someone else. That's what being patient is. Sort of like having a shoe in your... true love addresses the problem before permanent damage is caused. It's like having a pebble in your shoe. When you first feel that pebble in your shoe, if you decide to ignore it and you're on a hike and you've got that pebble in your shoe, eventually you're going to end up cutting your foot open, or you're going to end up bruising that heel or having an issue with your foot. But what you do, what true love really does in a relationship, when you notice that problem, you bend down, you do the work to get rid of what the irritation is and to solve that irritation before it causes permanent damage to the relationship. That's what true love does. Are you with me? Believe it or not, I'm getting close to being done, y'all. True love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Simply put, you want the best for someone, no matter who they are. Whether they're your best friend or they're your worst enemy. True love refuses to celebrate or gain satisfaction at the downfall or misfortune of someone else. God calls us to love in such a way that we identify and hurt with the hurting, even if they have hurt us. We are to be broken people. We are to be broken for broken people, not rejoice in their damages. Well, Pastor, I would never do that. I would never celebrate the downfall of somebody. I would never get satisfaction from someone having misfortune in their life. Oh yeah, let me ask you something. When's the last time you celebrated for the opposite political party than the one that you go for? When something good happened for them? Yeah, I'm meddling. It doesn't matter what political party they're a part of. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You need to rejoice when something good happens for them. It doesn't matter whether you like their style of music or you like their situation. It doesn't matter if they're your best friend or your worst enemy. We need to celebrate with those that need to celebrate and mourn with those that mourn. That is something God has called us to do. Do you rejoice because truth was revealed or because they got what was coming to them? See, that's really where I wanted to go in that political realm. Because there's times where we're sitting there and we will celebrate that this came out and that came out. Are you celebrating because the truth was revealed, or are you celebrating because they got what was coming to them? See, and I want to close with this. That there is a common thread in every single one of these. No matter what, which one of these we talk about, no matter which situation we talk about, every single one of them have a common thread. I'm going to read that scripture again where it says, verses 4 through 6, love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. The common thread with all of that is this. Each one of those things, I'm going to sum it up, this entire section up with one sentence. True love is self-sacrificing and pouring out of ourselves, expecting nothing in return for those we care for. You want an even shorter version of that? True love is less of me and more of you. I'm a simple guy. I'm the pastor equivalent of Forrest Gump. I'm not a smart man, but I can figure that one out. True love is looking in the eyes of someone who doesn't know what true love is and showing it to them by being patient and kind with them, not by reminding them where they're at. True love is wrapping your arms around somebody who is broken because their family has fallen apart, even though they don't go to church, even though they don't spend time with God, even though they may have done everything wrong in their life. It is looking at them and saying, listen, God's got this, and He wants you to come to Him to give Him your burdens. True love is taking the people who other churches and other quote-unquote Christians have rejected because of the tattoos they have, the piercings they have, the lifestyle they live. I'm not saying that we condone all of their sin, but what I'm saying is that you can still wrap your arms around a sinner and love them even though there's sin in their life. Jesus Christ did it every single day of His life when He sat down at a table and accepted the tax collectors and the prostitutes for who they were. True love doesn't hold people at a distance saying they're not good enough for me. Stand with me today. True love is less of me and more of you. God is calling us, not only as individuals, but as a church, to love our people, to love our church, and to love our community with true love. Here's another chance for you to say it. We do what? We love God, we love people, and we make disciples. That's what we do here. The way we love is through serving. The way we love is through serving people. Anytime you hear the word serve, a server at a restaurant is not benefiting themselves. They are there at your disposal. They are to go and get your food. They are going to get your drink. They're supposed to go and get your condiments. They're supposed to go and get everything in order for you. They are there to serve. If we are truly going to love this community and these people in our community, then we are supposed to serve them. We're not worried about what they bring through these doors that's going to benefit us. We're not worried about what kind of money they bring, what kind of talent they bring, what kind of leadership ability they bring. Our job is to welcome them with open arms, no matter who they are, where they come from, what they look like, or where they've been. That's who we are supposed to
be. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.